I don't know if you've ever had a text being constructed, or maybe it was a message or something, and as you're typing it, you get to the end of the text, and you're just about to send it, but before you send it, you look back at the text that you're about to send, and you realize, oh my goodness, autocorrect has done me very wrong in this instance. Has anybody ever been there where you almost sent something that you very much should not have sent? Yeah. And here's what's so cool about living in the day and age that we live in, is that when you do something like that, when you write something that maybe you didn't mean to write, and you know, instead of face you wrote fart, and it's just like this whole thing, we live in a day and age where you can just press backspace, 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 that little X with the box, and you know what? All of your troubles disappear, right? Because if you don't want to send that text, all you got to do is just erase it, and then you can write whatever you want to write. But, you know, it's a little harder when you actually have to physically write things down. You know, Kristen and I, we're writing our wedding thank yous. We got married about 5 months ago, and we've waited about 5 months to start on our wedding thank yous. Can I get an amen? Because that's hard work. And so we are writing these thank yous, and as we begin to write all of these thank yous, we just start, you know, sometimes I just start getting into the mode where I'm not really thinking about what I'm writing. Now, if I'm writing your thank you, I want you to know I am thinking about yours, but someone else's, sometimes I'll just write it, and as I'm writing it, I realize, wow, that sentence that I just started makes no sense. I'm going to have to find a way to make this work, right? Because if you write it in pen, there's really only so many options you have. You can either try and make the sentence work, or you can use something called whiteout. And I know for me that whiteout, when I was growing up, it came in handy. And you may not know this, but whiteout was actually invented by this woman named Betty Neesmith Graham. Can we put up a picture of Betty? And that is Betty and her son, who was in a famous rock band. I can't remember what the rock band was, but she raised this kid. And here's how this invention came to be. Betty actually was in a very tough divorce where she was left with her kids. And so because she was left with her kids, she actually had to go get a job as an executive assistant at a place in Dallas. And part of what they did when they were these assistants is that they would type, but this was before the day and age of computers. This was in the day of typewriters. And you may have heard the name of typewriters before and never actually seen a typewriter. So if you've never seen a typewriter, I don't blame you. But here's what would happen in a typewriter. When you would press the letter A would literally be printed onto the paper that was right in front of you. And so if you press the letter A, it would go A. And what would happen is people would begin to type, and if you made a mistake, you had to throw away the paper. And unfortunately, Betty was just not a very good typer. She would be going along and typing on this typewriter, and eventually she would get to a point where she made a mistake. She's like, ugh, I have to throw this entire page away. So Betty got really smart and did something that all of us should do when we face an obstacle. Betty invented something that changed the problem. And so Betty invented this thing that she called mistake out. And so Betty invented this mistake out, and it was this little white tempera paint that you could paint on top of your mistakes, and it would dry, and then you could redo what you needed to do. And this became a very, very popular thing. They started calling it liquid paper eraser, all these types of things, and to the point where in 1979, Betty actually sold her share in the company for $47.9 million. And then she also got a piece of the pie all the way up until 2000, every single one that was sold. And here's why Betty could make $47.9 million, because we all make a lot of mistakes. We all do it. We all make a ton of mistakes, just like Betty did. And sometimes we need something to fix it. And how much is that like our world? We look at our world and we see some stains. We see some mistakes that could use a little bit of white out. We look at our world and we say, man, there's a lot of things going on in this world that are just kind of tough. We maybe look at the suffering and we look at the disease and we look at the hunger and we look at places all over the world where maybe you see people in abusive situations, or you see people that are facing racism or inequality, or maybe you've faced that yourself, and maybe there's some things that you're experiencing in your life that they're just tough. And we look at the world and we say, man, this world is kind of stained. It's kind of got some mistakes in it. We wish there was just a way to kind of white it out. But unfortunately, this just hits a little too close to home, because I love what Erwin McManus says. Erwin says this. He said that you could end every war today. And you could end world hunger today, right? Like Miss America, I want to end world hunger. You could do that today. But if you don't change the human heart, it would all be back tomorrow. What is he saying? He's saying that, look, you could fix all the world's problems, but if you don't start with yourself, if you don't start with what's in here, you're not going to get very far. See, we all have these things inside of us. We all have these things where we say, well, I'm never going to do that again, and then we do it again. We tell people, oh, well, I would never say that, or I'll never treat that person that way again, and then we treat them that way again. We say, I got this time, and we don't. There's those areas of our lives where we just, if we're honest with ourselves, they're just kind of messy, they're kind of stained, and here's the problem is that you can't get those stains out. They're in your past, they're in your history, they're in those areas of your life where you look back and you say, I wish I could change that moment because that would make my life totally different, but you can't. You know, we went on a road trip to Chicago recently, and my cousin got married. We took a road trip over to Chicago, and I actually really enjoy road trips. I think it's kind of fun to build a playlist and eat some bad food and kind of just do all the good stuff. But as we were driving, we entered a certain state which shall not be named, but it's between Ohio and Illinois, and it happens to be the home of the Cavs opponent, the Pacers. And I won't name any state names because I just don't think that's right. But we were driving through this state, and my goal as I drive through this state is I do not want to stop at their rest stops. And here's why. Because if you stop in this particular state ending in Indiana, you stop at their rest stops, you are going to experience one of the grossest things of your life. There are literally germs crawling on the wall. And you're like, can a germ really do that? Like, that's so big. Like, that's not real. And so at all costs, we try and avoid Indiana rest stops. But sometimes you just gotta go, right? Like, you can't really control your bladder all that much. I mean, it's just a miracle you made it all the way to the bathroom, right? So we stop at a rest stop just a few months ago in Indiana, in a different place. And we stop at this rest stop. And as we walk in, I get this glimmer of hope. Because I walk in and I see this caution sign that says, hey, this floor is wet. It has just been mopped. And I'm like, oh, this is good. This is the perfect time to show up because if I come in when it's clean and it's mopped, I can get out with the least germage possible. You know what I'm saying? So I walk into the bathroom and I quickly realized that that sign did not mean very much because what had happened is they had taken the mop and they had taken probably the soapy water and they just started spreading everything around because the reason I knew this is because the moment I walked in, my shoes just started to stick. You ever walked in those places and your shoes stick and you're like, I'm just going to leave that shoe behind. I don't need that shoe. And you're like, this is gross because they tried to clean it, but they just kind of smeared it around. And now there's just urine particles everywhere. I mean, just everywhere. And you know, if we're honest with ourselves, sometimes when we try and clean our mistakes, all we do is just spread it around. Sometimes we do our lives damage, and then we say, okay, well, let me just try and make up for it, or let me just try and figure this out. And here's what we do. We put up these signs, these caution signs that help everybody to see, oh, this has been mopped. Oh, this is clean. Don't worry about it. But in reality, it's just as messy. And, you know, Jesus, when he came to the earth 2,000 years ago, we as Christians actually believe that Jesus claimed to be God. And that because Jesus claimed to be God, when he rose from the dead, we listened to what he said. And so Jesus, when he came 2,000 years ago, he had grown frustrated with people putting out the caution signs in their life. And I don't know if you know this, but Jesus actually got frustrated with people from time to time. And this might surprise you, but Jesus didn't get frustrated with the people who didn't have their lives all together. Jesus didn't get frustrated with the people who were imperfect or people who had a lot of serious holes in their life. But Jesus got frustrated with the religious leaders because Jesus started to look at these people and they were these people who used religion as this chance to mistreat other people. They used a devotion to God as an excuse to hurt others, to not care about others, and Jesus just got fed up with it. And so there's a recording where there's the follower of Jesus named Matthew, he records that this is what Jesus said to those group of people. In Matthew chapter 23, this is what it says. It says, what sorrow awaits you, teachers of religious law, and you Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, beautiful on the outside, but filled on the inside with dead people's bones and all sorts of impurity. Outwardly, you look like righteous or good people, but inwardly, Your hearts are filled with hypocrisy and lawlessness. Jesus is saying, look, you can put out the caution signs in your life and you can make everybody think that you've got it cleaned up. But if you don't deal with what's going on in here, all you'll have is dead bones. You'll just have death on the inside. You know, the first time I ever went river rafting was in close to Bakersfield, California, and it was a really kind of mild river. A lot of fun. It was like a stage three. What we would do is we'd go down a little rapid, and then we'd kind of get out and swim, and it was just a really fun time, and we had our guide who was with us, and our guide would kind of show us, hey, you know, this is what's happening over here. It was just a really fun time, but about halfway through the experience, our guide says, hey, guys, sorry, we got to pull over for a second. So he pulls us over to the side, and he kind of ties us up at this tree, and then he just leaves, and we're sitting there for like 5, 10, 15, 20 minutes, starting to go like, what is happening right now? And we start to notice that the other rafts have done the exact same thing, that all of their guides have left and that they're just on the side of the river. And like, what is happening? Why are these people pulled off? And so we decided we're gonna get out and we're gonna look. And so after about a half hour, we got out and we climbed up this little hill to kind of see what was happening. And all of a sudden we saw all of the guides gathered around something. And we could tell it was kind of serious and that some of them were going to do other things, and it was kind of a big deal. And so we were staring intently, and then we started to realize something, that, oh, there's an arm. Oh, and there's a leg. Oh my gosh, this is a dead body. And there was a dead body that was laying face down in the river. And it was gross. It was bloated. What had happened was this person, they got drunk on the 4th of July, they went down on an inner tube, and that was it for them. So, anybody want to go river rafting? But what happened? It changed our whole experience to be in the water with something that was someone that was dead. Why? Because dead things infect. And the reason that you don't want to drink from water where there's been a dead animal or hopefully never a dead person, is because they can infect the water. They change everything. And Jesus is looking at these people who have got it all figured out on the outside, but on the inside he's saying, no, death has kind of infected you. And here's the challenge with all this, because many of us in this room, if we're honest, we have put up a very good outer shell, an outer mask of who we are. But on the inside, we are dead. On the inside, we are infected. On the inside, there's this pain. And the problem is that the pain is not just out there, but the pain starts right here. The pain starts with the pain we create for ourselves. We are sin-stained. You know, I love what Erwin McManus went on to say. He said, look, sometimes we look at the world and we say, God, why don't you fix the world? But we never want God to fix us. And we look at the world and we say, God, why don't you change the world? But we never want God to change us. And you know, I wonder how many of us are sitting here, and this is not a church thing, this is not an unchurched thing, this is just a thing, where all of us come in with our baggage, and all of us come in with the death that's on the inside of us, and we say, I need help. And here's what Jesus came to do. Jesus came to help. Jesus came to do something that you cannot do on your own, because when you try and white out your mistakes, when you try and clean your mistakes, you just spread it around. It just gets worse. Jesus came to do something that only he could do. This is what John wrote. He said, we are lying if we say we have fellowship with God or relationship with God, but go on living in spiritual darkness. We're not practicing the truth. If we are living in the light as God is in the light, then we have fellowship with each other, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Pay attention to this right here. If you've been zoning out, zone back in right here. This is what John said about Jesus. He said, if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. Here's what Jesus does that we cannot do. See, because Jesus cleanses things that we can only cover up. Look, I don't know what's going on in your life. I really don't. I don't know what you came in here with. I don't know the pain that you've caused for yourself. I don't know the hurt that others have caused for you. I don't know what those dark areas are where you said, I'll never do this again, or I'll never think this, or I'll never say this again, but you end up doing it anyways. I don't know what those are for you, but I do know this, that the best you can do is trying to cover them up, maybe with being a good person. Maybe you put that image out there, oh, I'm a good person. Or maybe you've just numbed yourself. Maybe you've just said, okay, well, whatever. If I'm going to be this way, I might as well just live it up. And where you can only cover it up, Jesus can actually cleanse it. Jesus can actually wash it and give you something new.
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And what can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Let's sing it again. And what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And what can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Come on, let's sing it together. And what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the
Maybe a good question you have is how? You know, because I've told you that, look, there's areas of your life that you can only try your best, but it's not going to change anything. So how is Jesus going to do something new in your life? How is Jesus supposed to fix all the problems in this room? How is Jesus supposed to fix all the problems that are going on in your life? It's really simple. The key to becoming new, the key to becoming cleaned is... it starts with something very red. See, because we just celebrated something called Easter, and 2,000 years ago, Jesus on a cross was stretched out with blood running red. And with that blood running red, Jesus took all of your sins and all of mine. And that very blood, it signifies that Jesus can wash your very heart and give you a new one. So hear me on this. Jesus is not in the business of making bad people good. That's a byproduct of what he does. But he's not here to make bad people good. Jesus came to make dead people alive. Jesus came to take those of us who just feel like whatever's going on inside of me, it's just not working. Jesus said, I came to give you something new. So as we sing this again, I want you to just, in your moment, can we just all close our eyes together? And just hear these words and let the thoughts of what Jesus did when he sacrificed himself on a cross for you come into your mind, and let them just be the meditation of your heart in this moment.
Nothing.
here's the point. See, John 3:16 says this. It says that God so loved the world, he so loved you and me, that he gave his only son. He gave Jesus so that whoever believes in Jesus wouldn't die forever, wouldn't perish without God, wouldn't live a life disconnected from God for all of eternity, but would find real life. Jesus made it very clear that there's a goal he has. I love what Revelation chapter 7 says. This is John still writing. He says, therefore, they are before the throne of God. This is the people that God saves. These are the people that have been washed by the blood of Jesus. He says, therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And anyone who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. Pay attention right here. It says, they shall hunger no more, neither thirst anymore. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat, for the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water. And God will, watch this, wipe every tear from their eyes. I'm going to tell you this, there's going to be a big old whiteout party full of every person from every nation, every ethnicity, and they're going to be up there with God in heaven, with Jesus. And as they worship, all the tears, all the pain that they faced in this world will disappear. All the times that they hungered for something that they couldn't find, that they couldn't satisfy here on earth, it will be satisfied there. Because they will have been washed by the blood of Jesus. John said, look, if you confess your sins, God will not just forgive you, but he will cleanse you. And tonight, I just wonder if there's anybody that says, if they're just honest, they just say, you know what, I need cleansed. I need to be forgiven of my sins. I need to be washed. I know my past isn't pretty. I know what got me to this point. It hasn't been perfect, but you know what? I'm willing to believe that God could change my life right here and right now. That it doesn't have to go tomorrow the way it went yesterday. If you believe that, man, that God could do that in your life, that Jesus could give you a new heart, then we're going to pray a prayer together. It's really simple. It's just this, it's this idea that we're just saying, Jesus, I give you my life so you can give me your life, your eternal life. If you're ready to say, man, I want to give my heart to Jesus, I want a new heart. I want a new life. I want a new start. I want to spend eternity with Jesus. Then we're going to pray this prayer together. No one prays alone. Paramount, will you help me say this? Say, Jesus, I need you. I know I've made mistakes. Even worse, I know I've sinned. But tonight, I make a decision, a commitment to follow you. Forgive me of my sins. Cleanse me. Give me a new heart.